This is Fair Issues on the Mormon Faircast. This week's article is entitled, Four Evidences of a Tight Control Book of Mormon Translation, by Michael R. Ash, read by Ned Scarsbrick. This and other articles by Michael Ash can be found at DeseretNews.com. This article was used by permission of the author and the Deseret News. As explained last week, some of the evidences for tight control Book of Mormon translation comes from the fact that several sentences that sounded ungrammatical in the first printing actually make perfect grammatical sense in Hebrew. It should be remembered that it wasn't until 1835, 5 years after the Book of Mormon was published, before Joseph began to study Hebrew, and it was decades later before LDS scholars first noticed the Hebraisms in the Book of Mormon. LDS scholars currently recognize a variety of Hebraisms in the Book of Mormon. These include cognates, compound prepositions, subordinate clauses, relative clauses, extrapositional nouns and pronouns, interchangeable prepositions, comparisons, naming conventions, colophons, parallelism, marismus, and diphrasismo, antenatisos, epanaloespis, anathetic parallels, climate forms, analogy, and more. For the sake of space, I'll focus on four examples in this article. Repetition. In the Book of Mormon and in Hebrew, conjunctions are used much more frequently. For example, in a list in English, one might write nuts, bolts, screws, and staples. In Hebrew, a conjunction such as and is usually used before each item. The Book of Mormon contains many such examples. In all manner of wood, and of iron, and of copper, and of brass, and of steel, and of gold, and of silver, and of precious ores. 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 15. The frequent use of not only and, but the more lengthy and it came to pass, has been the target of ridicule since the Book of Mormon was published. Mark Twain teased that this expression occurs so many times, if it were taken out of the book, there would be nothing left to come to pass. In ancient languages that have no punctuation, like Hebrew and Egyptian, and it came to pass, and similar mononymous phrases are grammatical necessities and cannot be omitted. Construct state. Another interesting Book of Mormon Hebraism involves the construct state wherein the word of, although it does not exist in Hebrew, must be added to a descriptive relationship between two nouns in a literal translation. Book of Mormon examples include altar of stones, 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 7, instead of stone altar, plates of brass, 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 3, and never brass plates, words of plainness, Jacob chapter 4, verse 14, rather than plain words, skin of blackness, 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 21, instead of black skin, vapor of darkness, 1 Nephi chapter 12, verse 5, instead of dark vapor, rod of iron, 1 Nephi 8, verse 19, and never iron rod, daughters of Ishmael, house of Laban, and the list goes on and on. Rent garment. On page 351 of the 1830 edition of the Book of Mormon, we find this unusual expression. And when Moroni had said these words, he went forth among the people, waving the rent of his garment in the air, that all might see the writing which he had wrote upon the rent, and crying with a loud voice. For clarification, and to improve the grammar, the current edition reads, written upon the rent part, Alma 46, verse 19. While the language in the first sentence is ungrammatical, as the critics have been quick to point out, it is interesting to note that in Hebrew the word rent derives from a word that is both a verb and a noun, just as we find it in the Book of Mormon. Conditional sentence. Once LDS scholars pointed out that the Book of Mormon contained authentic Heberisms, critics were quick to claim that Joseph inadvertently and coincidentally included Heberisms because he mimicked the language of the Bible. Doctors Royal Skousen and Daniel Peterson, however, have recently noted the odd and foreign, yet authentically ancient Hebrew, if and conditional sentence. In the original Book of Mormon manuscript, dictated by Joseph and recorded by Oliver, we find the following examples from the printer's manuscript of what is now Helaman chapter 12. Yea, and if he saith, unto the earth move, and it is moved. Yea, if you say unto the earth, thou shalt go back, that it lengthen out the day for many hours, and it is done. And behold, also if he saith unto the waters of the great deep, be thou dried up, and it is done. These phrases were modified in later printings to sound more grammatically correct in English. As Peterson points out, neither he nor Skousen have been able, thus far, to find any 19th century example of a if-and conditional sentence. It exists in biblical Hebrew, but not in the English translations of the Bible published in Joseph's lifetime, and is an interesting evidence for the underlying Hebrew text in the Book of Mormon. If you like this podcast, you can help promote it by subscribing to it in iTunes or by rating it and writing a review. Post a link on your blog and Facebook page and tell your friends about us. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Michael Ash is the author of the book Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book Of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Both books are available for purchase online through the Fair Bookstore. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Lawrence Green. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that of Fair Mormon.